Today on Real Radio.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's your old life and mine. But Jack, I have all these problems. Old life's passed away. Isn't that denial? No, it's taking it to the cross and saying, God, take it. It's not denial. The world calls it denial when they don't want to recognize God. The Christian calls it cool. I can take my problems and go to God. Behold, he makes all things new. The new wine of the gospel had to be stored in a person. God's word cannot be anything but productive, my friend.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's where Jesus tells a parable using analogies of fabrics and wineskins. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, What's Filling You?
I want to show you an example. See these bottles? You probably thought I was thirsty, huh? Look at this. Can you see that? Jesus is saying, see that container? What's old is old. Leave it in the old. What's new is new. You got to put it in the new. This is a Pellegrino. And what do you do if you do this? Oh, my gosh. Okay. If there's life in here, what's going to happen? Oh. Nothing comes out. Why? It's gone old. It's gone dead. The container, is there any pressure against this container to come out? It's old wineskin, old wine. I have another bottle here. And it looks the same. Looks exactly the same. This is the believer. Judge your heart. You judge your own heart. Are you containing? Are you holding? Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell within you? He has to come out. Just as God would not stay in a box called the Ark of the Covenant, nor will God stay in you. Yes, he stays with you, but he's got to come out of you. And look at this. Look at that. Did you hear that? Look at the vitality. Can you see that? Look at the vitality that's in there. Look at the life. Look at this. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living, what? Water. The believer can't contain the Lord. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Does that describe your life? It's got to describe our lives. How do I know the Spirit of God dwells within me? Because he can't wait to get out. He will not be complacent. He cannot be apathetic. He cannot be idle. He's on the move. He's moving. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding means an effervescence of overflowing. Just as you just saw a moment ago. John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39. It's the verse I quoted a moment ago. He who believes in me, for as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Galatians 2, 7. Be then rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. I love that. Abounding with thanksgiving. Are you ready for that? Abounding. Shooting forth thanksgiving. Look, your house is burning. Well, praise the Lord, I had a chance to live in it for all these years. Look, look, your house is burning. Praise the Lord, God's got a nicer house for me. I don't know, but always abounding with thanksgiving. What a great thing, opportunity. The Lord's at work. Before I leave this, you got to jot these down. I love this truth. Acts 7:47 and Isaiah 66:1. Listen to this. But Solomon built God a house. However, the most holy, the most high God does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is a house that you can build me? And where is the place of my rest? You want to know why? Church, listen. The Lord cannot be contained in a building. Oh, let's go to church and worship God there. You can, but why limit him to there? God will not dwell in a building. Doesn't want to dwell in a building. Acts 17:24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with human hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Don't you love that? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Say, Jack, I just thought you said nobody can build a building that God will dwell in. That's true, nobody can. But you know what God did? God relegated himself down to the occupancy of a human being. Does that make me God? Oh, no, my Mormon friends, no. No, it doesn't. Does that make you God? I heard Benny Hinn say recently he is. Really, I thought God would have nicer hair than that. I don't know. No, Benny Hinn. No, it doesn't make you God. Kenneth Copeland, does this verse make you God? No, even though he said he's God. The Dalai Lama says he's God on earth. I'm God on earth. That's what he said. No, he's not. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. That doesn't make you God. It makes you a temple of the living God. And God will bring himself down. He will relegate himself down to the dwelling of a human being if you will just say, Lord, come and dwell in me. Now listen. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And with agreement, or what agreement, excuse me, does the temple of God have with idols? None, really. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And listen to this. In 2 Chronicles 5, you can read chapters 5 and 6 in their entirety later. But I love this. How do you mate these two together? The temple in Jerusalem, the temple of the believer, and God's dwelling and God's presence. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says, then the Levites, who were the singers, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed with white linen, having cymbals in their hands and stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding their trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one unity, united. To one sound was heard in praising and thanking of the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, this is what they said, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's beautiful and wonderful. That the house of the Lord was then filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord God filled the entire house of worship. But will God, he went on to say, Solomon says, but will God indeed dwell with among men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, how much less the temple which I, Solomon, have built. Awesome. Where will he dwell so that the glory comes out? Us. You want me to do this again to show you? This Jack's going to shine someday. I'm going to be shining. And sometimes a little bit happens when I walk in the Spirit and a little bit of Jesus comes out. But someday when you and I are in heaven, we are going to shine. Reflecting the glory of God. And he's doing that in our lives right now. He's working on it. He's working in us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. The liberty, by the way, is freedom from legalism. New life will grow productive. Verse 38, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, or both, so that both are preserved. New wine, the gospel, into an open, willing, and sensitive heart. Revelation 21:5 says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things, what? New. 2 Corinthians 5:17, great, wonderful verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's your old life and mine. But Jack, I have all these problems. Old life's passed away. Isn't that denial? No, it's taking it to the cross and saying, God, take it. It's not denial. The world calls it denial when they don't want to recognize God. The Christian calls it cool. I can take my problems and go to God. Behold, he makes all things new. This is the essence, by the way, of the gospel message, that man can start all over again, as we'll be hearing on Resurrection Sunday. The new wine of the gospel had to be stored in a person. And that's very, very clear from Scripture. God's word cannot be anything but productive, my friend. In Isaiah 55:11, God's word says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. This is the Bible. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in that thing for I have sent it. And when Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus says, Father, I have given them your, what was it? Word. Did you know that? Apparently, according to Jesus, the greatest thing that he could give you, give us, before he went back up into heaven, was his word. He didn't give us $1 million. He didn't give us a house. He didn't give us a nice, you know, donkey. He didn't give us anything cool or whatever is needed for our time in this age of our life, except the eternal, never, never changing forever word. What would Jesus leave us if he was here right now and was leaving again? Answer, his word. You say, well, how come the word just doesn't do much for me? Which bottle are you? The message is being dropped alongside you. Will you take it, or will you just sit here and do your Christian time and check out in a moment and get back on the road? Or will you take it in alongside your heart, receive it into your soul as the engrafted word and say, God, change my life. Lord, I want to have life flowing out of me. Which will it be? It's your choice. God's word's true nonetheless, if we obey him or not. But listen, we end with this. Third and final point this morning is this. What's filling you? Verse 39. Is it young life? Now, I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about something better than that. Is it young life? He says, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old's better. This is amazing. I say it's amazing because it's so today. When Jesus says here, and no one, there is a sarcasm to this. The word here implies this is absurd. This is an absurdity. Jesus is saying whoever is saying this is absurd. They have ill logic. What do they say? They say, I've drank of the old and it's better. Church, do you read here that they've drank of the old and the new? And they say, I'm going to compare the two? No, it says having drunk of the old immediately desires he does not actually desire the new. He says, I'm fine with the old. I don't need the new. He doesn't need it. This word immediately in the English version of the Bible, it's the Greek word that means a term that is suggested to those who are old that they will stay with the old. They have no desire to even try the new. They'll traffic around the new. They'll visit the new. They might even dip their finger into the new and put it to their tongue. But they've already made up their mind before they do it. And you know what I'm talking about. When you want somebody to eat something, just try it. Come on, try it. You ever been there? Try it. It's really good. I don't want it. Try it. They've already made up their mind. I'm not going to eat it. Come on. That's why when we feed little babies, we got to make it into an airplane. Put little wings on the spoon. And then they open up. They're not willing. Jesus is saying, the guy that drinks of the old, he's not even willing to try the new. I've got my old. And even if he were to dip his finger in it and taste it, he already knows his answer. What? His answer is no. The old is better. This is a man or a woman who has dug their heels so pridefully into their own position with God that they've created. And they say, I don't need anything. I don't need this Bible verse. I don't need this message, Jack. I don't need this gospel. It's not young life. I tell you, when God's moving, when the Spirit is around, it's young life, meaning all the characteristics of spiritual youth will be there. When they say that the old is better, the word, listen, jot it down, Bible student, the old is better means this. The old is better enough. It is good enough. The word means it is enough. Can look, I'm a Christian. You are a Christian. If you're trusting Christ, I could never say I've had enough of God. I want more and more and more and more of Him. Do you not want more and more and more of Him? It's the very, very foundation to that verse that haunts so many people in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, that says, "For it is impossible for those who once were enlightened," they knew about the gospel, "and have tasted," the word they sipped, they put their finger in it and put it in their mouth, but they had a predisposition. They had something that they'd come out of that they were clinging onto, and for reality's sake, they never came out of it. Having become partakers of the Holy Spirit, they saw God moving in the midst of them. They've sipped or tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Paul says in Hebrews, if Paul's the author of Hebrews, he says it's impossible to renew these people to repentance. They can't be saved. Why? They never were saved. Why? They won't get saved. They refuse to be saved. They had all, look, it's written to the Hebrews. They had all of their legalism, and they tasted Jesus, and they said, yeah, yeah, and they lifted their hands, and they sang, and they did whatever, and they looked just like you and I. But in the end, they said, you know what? We're going to go back to the old stuff. Paul says, go ahead. If you do, there's nothing left to save you. You can't be saved. Christ only died once. You have to trust Him. G. Campbell Morgan said this concerning these scribes and Pharisees that Jesus is speaking to. Listen to this. G. Campbell Morgan wrote, "It is here we see their motive for crucifying Jesus Christ. To them, the old was just better." You see, my friend, jot this down and we're going to be wrapping this up. Young life is having a childlike faith. The older I get, the more exciting this truth becomes, because you know what? When you get older, you start looking around at yourself and you start saying, well, there's not much left. But you know what? Thank God we have our faith. It's being renewed day by day. It's the inside that's starting to come out. Thank God. As we grow deeper in Christ, the more childlike our faith should become, my friend. Jesus said in Matthew 18, we need to become like a child. Not childish, but childlike. Why? Because children are believing. And if we've grown all cold and stuffy, we need to repent and become like a child again. Becoming like a child means that there's a change in our lives. A child's emotions are easily changed. A child smiles easily. They don't even understand what you're saying sometimes, and they just smile at you. I need you to go clean your room. I mean, I'm talking about young kids, not teenagers. Go clean your room. They just like smile. There's a certain age zone. It's like from zero to, I don't know what it is. It's young though. You know what? We need to become like a, Jesus says we're not going to make it to heaven unless we become like a child. We need to get our hearts softened up and be very, very excited about the things of God. And I thought about this, what we need to repent of, because we get all our feelings all messed up. Have you seen a little kid? Little kids, they're very emotional, but they're easily changed, aren't they? They're very pliable. I remember teaching the five-year-olds at Calvary Costa Mesa for years. I remember this one kid, Matthew. How do I remember his name? Because they're just so full of life and colorful. And I go, let's open up our Bibles. And this kid, Matthew, goes, excuse me, teacher? Yeah. What's that on your face, is it? Not the thing you want to hear right before you get into a Bible study. And I've never forgotten that, because you know what? Out of the mouth of babes, they will insult you, yes, but out of the mouth of babes, the praise will come. But you know what? He didn't have any inhibitions at all. Pastor, what's that on your face? Is it? Yes, Matthew, I said something along these lines. Matthew, yes, it is, and you will have them too someday. I pray to God. But what's a little kid like? What do we need to become like? Have you noticed that when a little child, and I just wrote this down out of what I've seen in my life. When a little child sees somebody crying, what do they do? Number one, I wrote this down. This is what I've seen. They'll come over to you, sit down, they'll pet you on the head. Have you noticed that? They'll take your hand, they'll pet your arm, a little kid. They'll pet your head and they'll kind of look around like, what do I do now? And they'll look at you and, right? Compassion. It may be clumsy, but it is precious. It's very precious. And the second thing, which is something I remember. If somebody's crying, you come over and sit down along with them, and what do? Yeah, that's right. You just start crying. Little kids come up, and they sit down, you're crying. What are we crying for? I don't know. What's the matter? Something's bothering them really bad, and it's making me cry. They just cry. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I remember when my brother used to get a spanking, I would cry. What's with that? We never got along, but then when my dad would beat my brother, I'd go, ah! It was not the cry of victory, it was the cry of compassion. Jesus said, you need to become like a little child again. A little child, hey, take my hand. They take your hand. A little child, jump off the wall. They jump off the wall right into your arms. They'll do anything you say. Jesus said, those are the ones that are going to get to heaven. Being a little child, being a lamb, is just like being somebody who is of new wineskins with new wine. You got the gospel in you, and because you know what? It's in you. You gotta move. You gotta do. It's the Holy Spirit within you stirring up ministry to life. It's God who's in you. And we end with this. Truly, we're really ending. You hear the bells. Young life is having a resilient heart. Young little kids have a resilient heart. They keep coming back. They're so precious. They're so forgiving. I'm so saddened to see how many children that we wind up having to comfort because mom and dad can't get along anymore. Mom and dad refuse to obey Jesus. Mom and dad become the Lord of their own lives, and they're on the road to divorce. And like it or not, tough, it's the truth. You know who pays the price? Little Junior. You want to know why? Because they tell us, this is true, they tell us, I think my mom and dad are getting a divorce because I'd always give them a hard time. I think my mom and dad are getting a divorce because I would always give my mom a rough time when she told me to do my chores. I think my mom and dad are getting a divorce because I didn't do good in school. They always blame themselves. I rarely have had a little kid say they're getting a divorce because they're being absolute boneheads and they won't obey Jesus and they need to repent or they're both too proud and they've just haven't picked up the Bible in months. They don't pray together. That's what they should be saying because that's the truth. No, young life is having a resilient heart that's flexible, elastic, hard-wearing, supple, and moldable. Lord God, make us this way. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What's Filling You? It's a look at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative or Gospel of Luke, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Of course, we're approaching the final weekend of February, which means, as we have been telling you, the Southern California Bible Conference takes place this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Admission is free. So we advise you to get there early, starting on Friday. You can visit realradioactive.org or socalbibleconference.com. Either way, socalbibleconference.com or realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.